Hey guys, if you are a father who would like to have a deeper relationship with your son, if you have a son that you're trying to pour into and develop, if you want to help your son see the greatness that you know he has in his life, I've got a very special event coming up June 23rd through 27th. We are going to be in Cleveland National Forest. My father's coming with me, the man who you hear me talk about all the time, who helped me become who I've become in life. We're going to be doing a father-son rite of passage event, map and compass, land navigation. I'll be teaching you how to use map and compass in the exact same place that I learned in Navy SEAL training. This is going to be a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. You'll have these memories for the rest of your life. If you want to find out more, you can click the link in the description below. We've only got 16 spots available, and we've already sold a few of those. You can find out more at theimpossible.life/legacynavigators. If you try to make everyone happy, you'll actually make nobody happy. Because if you're trying to make everything a priority, nothing's a priority, right? I think a lot of people can think that balance is just equity. And it's like, if I'm giving everyone the fair amount or the same amount, I need to spend more time with my kids. I need to give this person more of my time. I need to give work more of my time. And they think that balance just means a good mix of your time in all these different categories. And that'll actually leave you feeling less fulfilled than you already are.
That's impossible.
Let me tell you what I believe.
But your weakness is not your technique.
Yes! Yes!
Don't think you are. Know you are.
The Impossible Life Podcast.
I mean, you're sitting on a winning lottery ticket.
An idea that is fully formed, fully understood, that sticks.
This is the Impossible Life Podcast because Nick and I are attempting to live impossible lives. What we know is that nothing is impossible. So instead of using impossible as an excuse to not try, we'll use the pursuit of impossible as an accelerant for greatness. If something's never been done before, that just means it's unexplored. If they tell you it's too hard, it's just waiting to be simplified. Impossible is a default label used by uncourageous people, unwilling to take a risk. The real truth is this. The solution to any impossible task starts with this question. If I had to, what would it take?
Welcome to another episode of the Impossible Life Podcast. I'm your co-host, Nick Surface. I'm sat looking across at a man who once fell asleep at his own execution. That's right, folks, the former Navy SEAL, my co-host, and a man who can fall asleep anywhere, Garrett Unkelbach.
That is mostly true. I mean, what else to do other than sleep? Because you can't change anything.
Well, clearly you got out, so I'm guessing you woke up, and what happened after that is classified.
Yeah, I wasn't running around panicking.
Well, obviously, yeah. And that's a reference to old podcast.
Paul did the same thing. Paul slept in his prison cell.
So. He did sleep in his prison cell. That story was actually inspired by your sister and brother-in-law, who are two people I love dearly, who told me a story about how you once reached across, in the middle of a card game that you were playing with your family, reached across for a card that was on the far end of the table and literally fell asleep like that. This is something that
just sounds like a made-up story.
Well, I don't care if it's made up. I thought it was glorious. So anyways, speaking of glorious.
I feel like that's one of those stories that became something else entirely or is just made up. However, what I do possess is what I call Lunesta powers, which is the ability to go to sleep anywhere at any time. You can't stop me. But that's a far cry from being narcoleptic.
I mean, yeah, it is. But anyways, I was thinking about glorious things, and actually we've alluded to this on The Impossible Life a few times before, but we are now confirmed and ready to rock with our Impossible Life Ice Bath event.
Tell us about it, Nick.
Step into the fire starter. Okay, if you listen to this podcast, you know that we are big on ice baths, and Garrett introduced me to the ice bath. That's episode 4. You can hear how much of a pansy I was the first time I got in, and be encouraged that you will be a lot tougher than I was. But what I can say is, since then I've built my own. And what the ice bath will do is every single person in their life every day is making choices based on a number of different factors. And what you will find is a lot of decisions, if people are actually stop and slow down the thought process and the emotions that were involved, are made based on two things, pain and fear. And a lot of times it's the fear of pain that makes people choose the decisions that they have. A lot of people will only get to a point where it's so painful that they have to go another way before they actually make a change. So what the ice bath does is it puts you in a situation that's actually healthy for your body, but admittedly reveals your relationship with pain. And what through what we do and the way Garrett teaches it it is an unlock for your mind. If you're somebody that wants to go to the next level and you want to get every single thing out of your life that you can, until you rectify your relationship with pain and fear, you will never achieve all that you were made for. I promise you that. And this ice bath is a great way to have to become, first of all, aware of your relationship to them, and secondly, to overcome and master them and make it so that you make the choices that you want intentionally for your life. Is that, I think that's a pretty fair statement.
That's a fair statement. So when is it? How do I sign up?
Yeah. So we are going to share the link in our link tree on Instagram. It'll be an event listed on Facebook. It will also be in the podcast show notes. Click on that link. You can go sign up. It's January 30th. And because Garrett was a Navy SEAL, this is not going to be January 30th at a spa. No, this is going to be January 30th at 6:30 a.m. You're going to have to come and show that you really want it. So we're going to be doing it nice and early. It is going to be outdoors, and it's going to involve obviously an ice bath, which we're going to go through. Garrett's going to talk you through things. There will be a group coaching session afterwards to go through it and really help you get that unlock. And you'll also get a t-shirt, an Impossible Life t-shirt with Garrett, what do you call it? Why don't you tell everybody what you call the ice bath?
The fire starter.
And why do you call it the fire starter?
Because it starts the fire for people. I watched it happen to you. Honestly, I watched it happen to myself and for any other people that we know that have gotten one and started it. I've seen the same thing happen for them. This event really is for anybody who's curious about what the cold water really does. This is a great opportunity to come and experience it with a group of people. And even for those of you listeners who already have your own ice bath, I can tell you you're going to have a good time at this event. Whereas it's not new and unique to you, you'll still enjoy the group experience.
Yeah, and you'll come out with some more things. It's one thing doing an ice bath. It's a whole other thing doing it whenever you have Garrett there to hammer in the takeaways and go into the psychology of it, and I'll be on hand as well.
It's the power of the group and the power of the moment. So yeah. I would encourage you to come join us. Nick and I are going to be there. Be there with us.
Yeah, January 30th, Frisco area. We do have a limited number because, of course, it would be mass chaos if just everybody in the world turned up. Not that that would be a problem, but, you know, there's a limited number of tickets. So hit the link. Hopefully we'll see you there. It is going to be a meaningful moment, I think, for everybody that goes along. That's safe.
So, Nick, before we jump in and get started here, I have a question for you.
Okay, here we go.
Nick likes to put me on the spot all the time. I'm going to put Nick on the spot today. This is something we talked about the other day, and Nick said he just had to make a decision. So I'm just going to ask Nick right here live on the podcast what his decision is.
Oh, here we go. Oh, I know where you're going.
Oh, now he knows where I'm going. So Steve Weatherford, one of our previous guests, decided to go for a 100-mile run this year, and he invited me to do it with him. And I said, yeah, of course. And I'm looking forward to that. And so I asked Nick, are you coming along? Are you going to join me? And the first time I asked Nick that question, he kind of like, you know, beat around the bush a little bit. And then he's like, you know what? I just need to decide if I'm going to do that or not.
Yeah, well, that's not exactly how it went. I told you that I had been thinking about it since I heard you guys were doing it, and I couldn't get it off my mind. And you said, well, you know, why don't you come with us? And I was like, well, I didn't think that you guys would be okay with me coming with you. And you're like, dude, of course we are. So you said, are you going to do it? And I was like, well, now that was the only concern I had. It has been removed. It really is my decision. So I knew you were going with this. I have not stopped thinking about it since for over a week. So the answer is, Garrett, yes, I am going to do it with you guys. And the reason I'm saying that is because if it's something that's been on my mind for that long, then I know it's something I should do because I need to get to that place of where you've pushed yourself farther than you think you can go and you still got to keep going. I know it's a place you're comfortable with, and you get a weird glint in your eye whenever we talk about it. You can't see him, but he's got this little, like, if your eyes can smile, Garrett's eyes are smiling at the thought of going to the dark place of pain. So, yeah, I'm in, dude.
I'm looking forward to seeing you go through that.
I'm actually, strangely enough, I'm looking forward to it as well. So, yeah.
It's going to be a good time. So y'all come to the January 30th event and cheer Nick on and encourage him for his 100-miler coming up.
Yeah, I don't know any of the details about when this is happening. We will actually, there's a few things we've talked about. I don't want to go into anything because we haven't finalized any of the thoughts that we had on that. But it's not just going to be us running 100 miles. I think there's going to be more to it than that.
So. All right, so that aside, let's jump into it. What are we talking about today?
Yeah, today we're talking about balance. And it's funny because we're a couple weeks into the new year. I feel like a lot of people will have set resolutions or at least had goals or intentions. And it's interesting when you sit down and do those because hopefully you counted the cost of what it was going to take to achieve what you wanted. And you did not put yourself committed to 400 things or have a friend peer pressure you into, I don't know, say running 100 miles, like what just happened on this podcast. But I was actually talking to somebody that we both know, Garrett, and he was telling me that his company are having a hard time keeping employees because during the pandemic, they hired people who, you know, and when they hired them, everybody was working remotely, so they worked from home. And now that the pandemic is over, they're like, hey, come back into the office. And the people are looking at them like, why would I need to come back in the office? I've never been in an office. There's no advantage. I've clearly been doing my job, and you've been happy with it. And because they have an old school owner and CEO, he's like, no, we're going back in the office. So people are just quitting, which is crazy.
For sure.
And the term that has come so to the forefront, even more so, it's always been a thing, but is work-life balance. And I feel like it's something that people are always going after. I mean, for people listening, how many times, and I've been here myself, will a season go by, whether it's 3 months, 6 months, it could even be a year or a number of years, and suddenly you stop and you look at yourself and you're like, oh my gosh, like I've gained 20 pounds, or I actually have no friends because you focus all on your work or you focus all on your job. And so you're like, man, my life's so out of balance. I got to get myself back in. And I feel like this is something that happens to everybody. I feel like everybody can experience that. Their circumstances may actually be different, but what people default back to whenever they talk about, hey, I need to get my life back in balance, I think people look at their life and they almost want to divide it up like a pie. Like, okay, I have 5 areas in my life. I have relationships, I have work, I have health, I have spirituality, and I have, I don't know,
professional, personal life.
Right. Yeah, and they'll look at it and they'll go, okay, and I've got 24 hours in a day and I got to sleep, so I'm going to put, and they look at it like that, but realistically.
Well, most people's life is 90% their profession.
Right.
You know, 7% their family and 3% trying to spend time and do things for themselves. And they really don't have any time to get into the spiritual or the other or
true. Yeah.
Intellectual or creative function. All these parts of our life, people are talking about work-life balance, and really what they're saying is, how do I not work so much?
Yeah, you're right. And when they get their balance, you kind of go, well, what did you spend it on? Oh, I just binge Netflix.
Because if life was about balance, but most people say that, you know, their family is the most important thing in their life, but yes, their family is getting, you know, 7% of the time in the week, then if it's all about time for priority or importance, then your family's not number one. Your job is number one, right? But most people would say, no, my family is number one, but you give the majority of your time to balance. I mean, give the majority of your time to your work. So really what we're introducing here is that balance may not be the way. And what is important is not just about where time goes.
Yeah, which is very fascinating. Did you choose 7% randomly, or I feel like there's more thought behind that?
I was kind of random, honestly.
Okay, it was. Okay, right. You don't always
I just feel like that's a good estimation. 90% of people's time they give to their profession, and then a small of what's left, it's, you know, their family and a little bit for themselves.
Mm. Okay, so how do people get there? I mean, how do people get to that place of being out of balance? Or, I mean, you actually, when we discussed this beforehand, you had a good analogy that I thought painted the picture accurately.
I think for most, well, let's talk about why people want balance. Why do you, just give me your thoughts for a second, Nick. Why is it that people want balance? What are they really wanting when they say they want balance?
I think people want to feel fulfilled and like they have control of their life. I think that's the worst feeling, is that people suddenly go, you know, I think a lot of people, especially if they're not self-employed, and even people who are, they say yes to things all the time because they feel they have to, and they don't feel like they have control of their life. But really, you choose to wake up and go to work, or to create that bill, or to buy said whatever that you're going to have to pay off. And ultimately, you're creating your life, but I don't think people think of it like that.
I think what people are searching for, and, you know, we've said it on this podcast, and there's books written about it. So many people have said it and said balance is a myth. I think what people are searching for is just everything in its right place. And balance is what people are thinking, oh, if I can just find balance in my life. They're seeking this mental, emotional, spiritual equilibrium, and they think that that's balance. But balance is not the answer. What I was talking to Nick about earlier, I said that balance is kind of like, or the thought process of balance, and we're just kind of flip it upside down a little bit, break what balance is. Balance is like having 20 goldfish and you only have enough fish food for 5 fish, and you keep trying to feed all 20 goldfish. Mm-hmm. And it's like the thought process of, if you try to make everyone happy, you'll make nobody happy.
Right.
Or it was, just throw a quick Steve Jobs quote in here. If you want to make everybody happy, sell ice cream.
Ooh, I love that. I haven't heard that one. That's good.
No, but the thought process of if you want, and these are conversations I've had with my wife before. If you try to make everyone happy, you'll actually make nobody happy. Because if you're trying to make everything a priority, nothing's a priority.
Yeah.
Right. I think a lot of people can think that balance is just equity. And it's like, if I'm giving everyone the fair amount or the same amount, I need to spend more time with my kids. I need to give this person more of my time. I need to give work more of my time. And they think that balance just means a good mix of your time in all these different categories. And that'll actually leave you feeling less fulfilled than you already are. Mm. And so the analogy we were talking about earlier of the goldfish, balance is like trying to have 20 goldfish, but you only have enough fish food for 5 fish. And you keep trying to feed the 20 fish on your 5 fish food budget, what'll really happen over time is you'll just slowly starve all of the fish. And people keep, you know, the amount of fish food you have doesn't change. And then people go back to the store and buy 20 more fish thinking, I just want to keep all these fish. And so that's really the balance. That's what balance will do for you. It'll slowly starve all of the things that you think are important. And so what I wanted us to get into today was 5 things that are better than balance.
Yeah. No, I like that a lot. So real quick before you do go there, because you said something that oftentimes when we're planning these podcasts out, we, like I said, we take 5-10 minutes. Garrett will just throw something out there and I'll just have to stop for a minute and think about things. I'll say things that are hilarious and he'll obviously crack up. You know, it's the usual planning session. One of those 2 statements is true, but you said that there was the anxiety of balance.
I appreciate Nick, because Nick just enjoys the things that I say, maybe even sometimes more than they're worth, but that's great. It makes me feel good.
Well, you know, that's really what I'm here for, Garrett.
Something I said a couple weeks ago that you appreciated was that peace comes not from knowing the outcomes, but knowing what you will do.
Yes, I thought that was phenomenal.
And in that same thought process, I gave you the problem of balance through that same lens. And what I said was that peace comes not from giving to every demand in your life equally, but from knowing that you gave every demand in your life what you were supposed to. Mm. Balance is like you're trying to get to where you make everyone happy. But where I want to take you instead of balance is to a thought process and to a way of living where you know what everything in your life needs and you give to it accordingly. Not the gold, not 20 goldfish telling you, hey, you need to feed all of us. You saying, I have enough food for 5 fish and I will determine who gets fed.
Mm. Yeah, and that's the difference between, that's actually, like when you asked me before, that's actually having control of your life and knowing that you're making deliberate, intentional choices. And you said that the anxiety of balance, because I think, nobody likes to feel out of balance. That's just a bad feeling. But you said the anxiety of balance comes from
the anxiety of work-life balance, or just life balance is what I would call it. Because sometimes it's not work-life balance. Sometimes people are good with work, but their life is out of balance in other ways. The anxiety of life balance comes from really 2 areas that cause a lot of problems in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
One being a lack of discipline. Lack of self-control. You don't do the things you know you're supposed to be doing, which causes your time to go into areas that they're not supposed to go, right? And when you, life is a fixed budget, variable cost scenario. What does that mean? Fixed budget, you got 24 hours in a day. That's not going to change. Variable cost, just like in a business, some costs go up, some costs go down over time, and your costs will often exceed what's in your budget. You have to be good at cutting costs. Like, nope, that doesn't fit in the budget. That doesn't fit in the budget. And what happens is most people, their fixed budget, that can't change. You've only got 24 hours in a day, but they keep trying to absorb all these costs that exceed their budget, and then they can't pay off any bill, and then they're upset. That's where the anxiety comes from.
Mm. Oh, I like that, man.
But the well, to get to the other part of it,
I was going to say, fear of failure.
The anxiety of life balance comes from a lack of discipline and a fear of failure.
Yeah.
And there's really a lot of different types of fear. It's fearing failing, what you're supposed to do with your life. It's a lot of fear of missing out as well. Fear on like, well, I want to keep all 20 goldfish because what if I decide I really like, you know, Ted number 20?
Right.
Right. And you've got to decide, look, I can't keep all 20. It's you've got to make some sacrifices and decide, like, I don't want all 20 goldfish. I want to feed 7 of these goldfish on a 5 goldfish budget. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to do that through being really smart, having my priorities lined out and get the most out of 7 goldfish instead of trying to keep 20.
Yeah. And that fear of failure is such a key thing, because I've talked to friends and I've done this myself. I'm trying to think of more specific examples.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. But I was just like thinking how interesting of a science experiment it would be if you gave a bunch of people 20 goldfish and enough food for 5 fish to see what type of people would do what with the fish. Like, who would try to feed all the fish? Who would only feed some?
That would be interesting. Yeah,
interesting.
I'm pretty sure that you could probably get that study funded, man. Because that'd be psychology 101.
Yeah, it would be a good experiment.
But going back to the fear of failure, I mean, it ends up looking like something like this. I mean, how many people? Okay, I got a good example. I've got a friend who had a gym membership that she kept for years, and I mean, I'm not talking like one or two. It was like 5 years.
But never went.
Yes, but never went. And why? Why did she never cancel that membership? Because once she canceled the membership, that would be quote unquote officially giving up and like admitting that she was not willing to do anything to better her health. And I thought that was absolutely crazy because she's wasting money. But her fear of failure was greater than her fear of going broke, I guess, in this case. And that's what you're talking about. And I think so many people will have things like that where they just can't let it go, not because they really love it or because it's something that they feel is like really like an all-in yes for their life, but because for whatever reason, they have attached a meaning to it that if they quit that or they let it go or they say no, it's almost like saying, I can't and I'm not enough and I wasn't able to. And people have a hard time doing that. And it's an empowering thing if you can look and go, you know what? I could, but I shouldn't. You know, could do's and should do's. We've talked about this before.
Yeah, when you say that, the thought that comes to my mind that the recipe for being more is not doing more. And that's what most people are trying to do is they think, well, I can just have the life that I want if I just try to do all these things at once.
Oh, that's so good. So great quote, actually, that makes me think of what we're talking about, this life out of balance. It's actually from the song Beautiful Boy by John Lennon. And there's a line in there that he says, life is what happens when you're busy making other plans. And I think about that, and it's such a great line. But so many times, how many people can relate to a day when you're like, man, I was busy all day. And it's like, well, what'd you get done? Like, well, I don't know. You know what I mean? It's like that thing you go to, you know, you have to open your phone because you need to check something very specific. And then you notice you have a notification on Instagram. So you click on that and then, oh, somebody posted something. And before you know it, you're five levels moved and you've just wasted 20 minutes. And a lot of, you know, days can go by like that. Lives can go by like that, which is absolutely terrifying.
So now we've kind of talked about what balance is and how it's probably not the answer to your problems. I want to give you 5 things that are better than balance, and then we're going to cut this episode. That's all we want to do today. It's the beginning of the year. Hopefully for you, it is for us, if you guys are listening along as we're airing these podcasts, and we want to get you right back out there. So here's 5 things that are better than balance. Number one is standards. And when I say 5 things that are better than balance, I'm telling you, these are 5 things that if you'll use these, incorporate them, grow in the areas that you're weak, this will actually get you what you thought balance was going to give you. And that is helping you give more of the right amount of your time and energy to the right things and saying no to the wrong things. More of what you want and less of what you don't want. So 5 things better than balance. Number one is standards. What are standards? Standards are specifics or precise criteria that are repeatable and documented for consistent use, okay? What's an example of that? You need to have standards in your life for how you do certain things. Instead of trying to, every time you keep encountering the same question or the same problem, saying, well, what do I want to do with this? How much energy do I want to give to this? How much emotional energy do I want to spend on this person? When you have standards for the way that you do things, it actually makes your life way more simple.
Yeah.
You spend way more time trying to figure things out all the time. Like, save your problem-solving power for true problems, not for stuff that you see every day.
Yeah, great example of this, and Tim Ferriss calls it the one decision that removes 1,000. And for example, Garrett, I know that you shut your phone on night mode. Is it at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock?
Yeah, 8 before we do 9 o'clock bedtime or wind down between 9 and 9:30. So shutting the phone off an hour before.
So the fact that your phone goes off at 8 p.m. and that is like, that's automatic. It doesn't change. Now removes all the variables about like getting to bed on time.
I don't have to think about like at 8 o'clock, I'm not saying, well, I know I'm supposed to put my phone down, but I got a really important text. No, because of that standard for me, like I just do it. I just turn it off. I put my phone down and I'm not trying to make decisions on, is this important enough for me to break my rule or not. No, just put it on whatever mode you want to put it on, or put it on the charger and put it away. That's the, I mean, if you really want to put your phone away,
yeah,
put it away. Because part of the reason I do it is so I'm not absorbing more blue light.
Yeah.
Right. But those standards just free you up to do more of the things that you want. Instead, the opposite of a lack of standard means that you make all of your decisions based upon what's right in front of you.
Yeah, and I'm glad you went there, because that's exactly what I was going to say. You're not going to be able to have a standard for every single potential thing that could ever come up in life. But when we're saying standards, use your sober mind. We've talked about this. The non-decisions is the term that we used in the past. Use your sober mind and look at the things that are repeatable in your life. There, you know, a lot of life is patterns.
Well, I would say a lot more things than you would think can be standardized. I have standards for the level of cleanliness in my car. I have standards for the way that my appearance looks like when I leave the home. Like, you won't ever see me out at the grocery store in sweatpants. That doesn't mean that that's wrong for anyone else, but it's wrong for me. I know what I want. I know how I want to be seen. I know what I want my appearance to look like. And so I've standardized that. It's not like, well, do I want to look like a slob today, or do I want to look good? No, I just have a standard of excellence, right, in my appearance.
It's odd that you chose sweatpants, because I basically live in sweatpants during the week because I work remotely. Man, I love those things. But anyways.
On the other hand, I work at home and I never wear sweatpants in the office.
Okay. You think you're better than me? Anyways, let's move on. But yeah, standard. You're right about that. The standards, and maybe I need to look at my standards, but there are definitely points where you can look with a sober mind at things in your life and say, okay, this is where it's at.
And
it makes things easy.
Everyone doesn't have the same standards. I just gave you an example of one of mine.
I know. I was just messing around, man.
Well, I'm not messing around.
Okay, take it easy. Okay, boot, put it down, dude. Take it easy. By the way, I've been waiting to do something like that the whole podcast. We got a new, if you heard the episode with Steve Weatherford, he recommended the Rodecaster Pro to us, and we got it, and it's got sound effects. So we've got special sounds for Tony Robbins quotes, Pastor Keith quotes. We got lots of fun stuff, and it's really me that has to control my itchy trigger finger. So they are
Nick said I was going to be the one distracting the podcast with the sounds, but that's not true.
That's not true. And there may be some ADs, which stands for accidental discharge. So anyways, Garrett, we talked about standards for your five things. That was the first one. Second one?
Number two, priorities.
Okay.
This is a big one. What is a priority? It's just a thing that is either more urgent or more important than another thing. Mm. And so to have priorities, you've got to have a system for determining what is urgent, what's not urgent, what is important, what's not important. You need to determine what things are important to you. And I'll give you guys, I think we've talked about it on the podcast, maybe we haven't, a way that I use for all of my prioritization that I learned in the military. And so there are those just two classifications of urgent and important. Now, there can also be things that are both urgent and important, right? And things that are urgent, important, it's both of those. I do those things first. And then the next thing I do are things that are urgent. And then after that, I do things that are important. And when things are neither urgent nor important, I don't do them. Mm. Those are the goldfish that I kill, so to speak. And it allows me to actually feed the important things. And on the topic of urgent and important, here's a great one for just a great example for people who work at home. But I think this is an example that can apply to everyone's life. And people don't always know how to say no or yes to the right things. I think this might be a good lens for you. So, for example, during the day when I'm working and I'm working on a lot of important things and in the myriad of business that I do, sometimes my wife and now she's learned, and our relationship has matured to a point where she knows when is the right time to approach me with a question. But in the past, sometimes Lindsay would come and ask me about something that's important, but it's the wrong time to have this conversation. And so what I would do is take the time really quickly to explain to my wife, you are more important than what I'm doing right now. And what you're talking about is way more important than the email that I'm responding to. However, I need to respond to this email right now, and we can talk about what you want to talk about, this important thing, at a different time. So all that is understanding is that I was in the middle of something that was urgent, and what my wife was bringing me was something that was important. Because the way that can come across, to you can make your spouse or someone else feel this way, and you can struggle with this. Am I telling my wife that, you know, this work email is more important than her? No, that's not what I'm saying. And you need to be able to clearly, you need to understand that for yourself and then be able to clearly articulate it, right? It's not that one is more important than the other. It's that you have two prioritization categories, urgent and important.
I like that. Yeah, I've implemented some of those things because you've said that stuff to me before. Okay, so we've got standards, we've got priorities, and I feel like in priorities, one of the things we will talk about later down the line is core values, because I think that that ties in with what you just said,
priorities
on a much grander scale, but I don't want to do that right now.
Yeah, core values is knowing what you value, knowing what you want, which is underlying to all of these things.
100%. Okay, so we got standards, priorities.
Yep, we got standards, priorities, and then the third thing is timing. Selecting the exact time or speed at which to do something. Mm-hmm. You can do the right things at the wrong time.
Oh, man. Ask the guys who created Vine.
Oh, for sure.
Can you imagine how those guys must be feeling? TikTok and the way the whole world has gone with video.
Oh, you're just wondering why it wasn't me.
Yeah, yeah.
But timing for your life is kind of like the conversation I had with priorities with Lindsay. Priorities and timing are two things that go hand in hand. You need to know when is the right time to do certain things.
Yeah. No, I like that.
Number four, routines and rhythm. And I'm counting these as kind of two sides of a coin. They're one thing together for this five thing scenario. Routines and rhythm. A routine is a sequence of actions regularly followed. It's a fixed program. Like Nick and I both have a morning routine. Mm. Whereas a rhythm is a repeated pattern. And that can be the exact same pattern. It can be A, B, A, B, A, B. It can be big A, little A, big A, little A. But it's really more of just understanding that there's a pattern. So where for a morning routine or for a routine, you have a set of specific things that you do at the exact same time. A rhythm is more like, well, Lindsay and I have a rhythm for weekly date nights, but you can also have a rhythm for your day. Like in the mornings, yeah. I do these types of things and I don't do those types of things. And in the afternoons, I do these types of things and I don't do those types of things.
Hey, I'm going to give a practical example because this is something we've never talked about this, but I've implemented this in my own life. So if you ever Google circadian rhythms, you can read I don't know the different types that there are, but basically your circadian rhythm is like your body's natural waking pattern and when it gets sleepy. Some people will describe this as I'm a morning person. Some people will describe it as I'm an evening person. You can change yours, but for me, so I know that when I wake up, I'm a morning person. So I wake up and I'm like, boom, let's go straight away. My wife is the opposite, and we have found ways to make that work for both of us. But what I know from looking at my rhythm and from doing a little bit of research about this is that in the morning is a great time for me to do focused analytical work because my mind is at my sharpest.
Totally.
I have no problem blocking things out and really honing in. So for me as a digital marketer, if I have to do a deep dive into a client for like digital strategy and I'm looking at tons of different charts and graphs and data, it's a great time to do it. Now in the afternoon is whenever I do my best creative work. I'm not wanting to be as structured, and my mind is maybe a little bit fatigued, and I have a dip. Most people have a dip, and then they'll have a second wave. So when you take your dip, if you plan for that, like for instance, I know my dip comes right around 12 to 12:30. So that's actually when I go work out because I give myself a little endorphin boost. And because I know this, I'm actually no longer drink an afternoon cup of coffee. I don't need it. That also has to do with diet. But then when I come back, you know, I still have some things that I need to do that are better morning things. And if I can put them off till the next day, I do. And that's when I do my creative work. If I have to sit there and look at, so creative work for me might be along the production line of video work or photography, or it might just be looking at the creatives for a client. That's whenever I'll start looking and diving into that stuff because my mind wants to engage it. And finding out about that circadian rhythm, I would highly encourage people to Google it, Google what yours is. When you start to realize those types of things, you can prioritize your day and it brings a lot more joy to your work and you're also better at what you're doing. So I would highly suggest everybody look into that.
Totally. So coming back just real quick, the difference between routines and rhythm.
Yes.
Routines is a sequence of the exact same actions over and over.
Okay.
Or if we want to make this music, it's just the same single note sequence over and over again. Versus rhythm, and rhythm is pattern and time, right? So the time doesn't change, but the pattern flows with the time. The way I see rhythm is, again, it's, you know, in music, you've got high notes, you've got low notes, and I look at rhythm kind of like you can riff on it a little bit. Like, we can take this high note higher, or we can take that low note lower. It's not going to be as regimented as a routine, but I know during this time of the day, is a high note, this time of the day is a low note, so to speak. That's the difference between routine and rhythm.
Okay.
Routine looks the exact same way every day. Rhythm is like, oh, this is similar to that.
Right.
And I can tell it's from the same riff, it's from the same song, but it's changed a little bit. Routines and rhythm.
Okay. No, I'm glad you showed the difference, because they could be lumped together.
Yeah, I mean, you have both in your days. Like, I have specific routines in my day, and what's not a routine fits inside of a rhythm.
Yeah. Okay. No, that makes sense. And you said the last one, the fifth one, was discipline?
Yes, the last one is discipline. One thing I want to say real quick before we go there is just if you don't have routines or rhythm, just like if a song doesn't have a pattern, it's a lot of lack of harmony. Mm. When you have a consistent rhythm to your life, there's so much more harmony. With understanding timing, it allows you to hit the notes at the right time. Mm. You can get more out of your productive time. You can get more out of your rest time instead of not having any rhythm is like trying to sing karaoke with the words coming on the screen, but you can't see the words until it's time to be singing that word.
Right.
You're going to miss every note and you're going to be frustrated because you're just only responding to things as they happen immediately versus I already know the rhythm of the song and I already know the words. I can just hear it and sing without looking at the screen.
Man, that's a great analogy. The karaoke one just illuminated what you said. It's being able to look ahead and know that you're sort of in sync with what's happening. And
yeah, I would say even so, a lack of rhythm is like trying to sing karaoke, but you can't hear anything.
Mm.
You're just trying. You see the words highlighting,
right,
but you can't feel what's coming next.
Yeah.
You know, versus when you have a good rhythm, if you already know the words, you can just sing the song,
yeah,
right? Because you can hear the music and you know what's coming.
And if you've been to a karaoke bar, a lot of times people drink so much, it doesn't really matter whether the songs are on, but that's all part of the fun.
Oh man, I could tell some good karaoke stories.
I also have some good karaoke stories, so that'll be maybe awesome.
All right, and then the last one, and again, the context here is these are five things that are better than balance. These are five things that are going to help give you what you thought balance would give you.
Yes, love that.
So standards, priorities, timing, routines, and rhythm. And then the last one that wraps it all together is discipline. And discipline is doing what you know you're supposed to be doing.
Mm.
If you don't have discipline, you're not going to be able to follow your standards and priorities, right? Really important is having discipline to do the things that you know to do.
Yeah.
Yep. That's it. These five things will solve your balance problems. It doesn't mean you're going to be able to feed all 20 goldfish, but what it does mean is you're going to know which 7 goldfish you want to feed, and you're not going to miss any feeding windows, and you're going to make sure they're all well and taken care of.
Mm. Yeah, man, I think that's for challenges when we're looking at these, when we're looking at those things, I mean, obviously the challenges are always to put into action what you hear because, oh, hold on, here we go. Tony Robbins quote. Knowledge is potential. Action is power. That's what he says. And I paraphrase that, but that's 100% true. So when you're talking about standards, priorities, timing, routines, and rhythm and discipline, that's a lot. And it may sound overwhelming and it might sound kind of crazy. But what I would say is challenge number one, set some standards in some key areas of your life. Garrett gave the example of his standards for appearance. And also he mentioned cleanliness for his vehicle. I talked about how I live in sweatpants and don't have standards there as a counterpoint. But I would say look at some areas of your life. Garrett, what do you think are some good areas of life where people could apply some standards just to start to feed, quote unquote, their 7 fish on a 5 fish budget?
I would say look at the areas of your life that frustrate you the most.
Mm,
like people, I would say look at the areas of your life that frustrate you the most. Like you're frustrated by, or the things that you're tired. Like I'm just really tired of, you know, my house is always dirty. Or I wish this would change. Like the areas of your life that you want to be better are probably some areas of your life that lack standards.
Yes. And so I would say one thing in that, the first thing that came to my mind when you talked about that was budget. Because I know I was a guy that, you know, years ago I was so tired of living on paycheck to paycheck. And it was painful. And it wasn't until I implemented a standard. And what was that standard? Well, it was whenever I went through my entire electronic bank account and made a budget on an Excel spreadsheet.
Yeah, standard number one, I'm not going to spend more than I make every month.
Exactly. Yeah, that could be your standard. And then you put that in
place. And then it takes discipline.
Yeah.
To implement that. And then within your budget, you would also want to have priorities, right?
Yep.
Hey, these are the most important things every month. And you know, like, which, again, we talked about the fixed budget, variable cost. If you were doing a budget, you're going to say, okay, this is the first thing that I would cut. And then this is the second thing that I would cut.
Yeah. So I think that that would be a great place to start for everybody in doing these things. I think if you can look at the areas, I would say look at three areas that frustrate you the most and put your standards in place like that. And I would say write them down. Write down what those standards are. And then, like Garrett said, without discipline, none of this comes to fruition. So, you know, once you put that standard in place, it's going to be tied to your priorities. Obviously, you're not going to make a standard for something that you never do, I don't even know, picking up litter or whatever it may be. But, you know, I just, if it's important things in your life, I think that they'll be tied to your priorities. And then these other things that Garrett gave in his five things come into play. And the big, bold, underlined one is discipline, because ultimately you can write down all you want and you can standard all you want. But if you don't actually have the discipline to follow through and enact it, then once again, knowledge is just potential in that case. So those are the challenges, unless you want to add anything else, G.
Yes, say it again. What is the challenge?
The challenge is to find at least three areas of your life that frustrate you the most and write out standards for them. Garrett gave the example if he has a standard for his appearance. The first example that came to my mind was finances. It used to be a big frustration for me, so I applied a standard, which entailed having a budget, and there was more detail to it as far as obviously not spending more than you make, but then also having savings and different things. So I applied a very rigorous standard to that, and then I, through discipline, put that into place, and it's reaped big rewards over time. So that's the challenge, is to find three areas of your life that frustrate you the most and apply a standard or write out a standard for those and enact them. All right. He just flexed. So I think that's a good sign. Make sure you go and click on the link. Join us at the Ice Bath event. One thing we forgot to mention is it's in the Frisco area. So it's, if you're in the DFW area, that's where we're going to be. We look forward to seeing you all there, and we'll see you again soon. Thank you very much for listening, guys. Remember to share, like, subscribe. If you think that this would be something that someone would enjoy, please send it to them. We appreciate it all. If you want to get in touch, you can follow us on Instagram at The Impossible Life. You'll find us on there. You can also email at impossiblelifepodcast@gmail.com. If you have any questions, if you want to get in touch and find out about Garrett's personal or business coaching, that's the way to do it. Thank you again for listening. Go out there, think better, and live the impossible. See you again soon. Long before ice baths were a thing, Garrett was doing them in the SEAL teams. Now we do them as part of our daily morning routine to make us better. We are very pleased to have partnered with Freedom Plunge. Freedom Plunge is on a mission to bring cold exposure to everyone. They believe that cold plungers should be affordable, easy to use, and represent the customer themselves. Cold plunges shouldn't cost a fortune, and these ones don't. Garrett and I both use our Freedom Cold Plunge every single day. It's customized. You can put whatever you want on them. For us, we have our Impossible Life logos. And here's the best part. Just for listening to this podcast, you can go to freedomplunge.com, use the discount code IMPOSSIBLE, and save $500 off any Freedom Plunge. These things are half the price of the ones that you see on the internet, plus you're going to save an additional $500 with code IMPOSSIBLE. Go to freedomplunge.com and get yourself one now. You will not regret it.